You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello, 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 and welcome to Unique Leaders Live. I'm Megan DiMartino, and it is Christmas Day. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I know this is a day of family, and probably by this point, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're resting and maybe online to watch this. So it may be a good time, but if not, watch it on replay. But it is Christmas Day, and I am so, so blessed to be here with you. Unique Leaders is a weekly show, if you don't know, and it is just about that, unique leaders, and it is their story. I am so pleased each week to bring unique people and their stories to you because their success is in their stories. Over the years, people have asked me, how did you start? Oh, I could never do that. Why not? I say, you know, that it is about what you're looking, you know, your goals, dreams, and aspirations. Everyone has those. And so it's just taking that first step, and you'll see these secrets within their stories. I am so excited to introduce to you today my guest who has a personal connection with me. She is my not only niece, but she's my goddaughter, Gabriella Mazuka McNamara. And Gabby, obviously, and I have known each other through her life, and she is a treasure in my life. But she's also a very brilliant woman who has strove for success, and she has not had an easy path, but a unique path, and she is truly a leader. So without further ado, I look forward to you meeting Miss Gabriella McNamara. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I wish we were doing this in person.
Exactly. Normally I would be there with you.
Yeah.
And most every year I'm in New Jersey. Gabby is in New Jersey outside of New York City. So Miss Gabriella, I'd like to take you back to the young Gabriella. And, you know, from a, not directly what you're doing currently, but from that dreams, goals, and aspirations. When you were a young girl, the first recollection of yourself, and what you, when was it that you realized you wanted to do? And maybe it doesn't go back that far, but tell us a little bit about the young Gabriella and where you grew up and that type of thing.
So I grew up in New Jersey, where I still live, although I've been other places in between there, and have 5 siblings, as you know. I went to Boston College. And after college, I worked in New York for a little bit, but then I went to Washington, D.C., and I lived there for several years and then came back to New York. Met my husband, Kevin. We moved to Philadelphia for his job. And then after that, came back to New Jersey. But I guess I have my own public relations and marketing firm. And I think that's not something most kids know what it is. Most adults don't even know what it is. But I've always, as you know, been an avid reader and love to write. So I always thought maybe I would be a writer. But when I was in college and I started going through the Career Center and I started reading about public relations, I thought that would suit me really well because it's a lot of writing, but it's also strategic marketing and planning and lots of events. So all different things I like to do. Mm-hmm. But when I got out of college, the economy was not so great. It wasn't so easy to find a job. So I started working on Wall Street at first because I was an English and economics major. So I used the economics side. But that just wasn't really for me. It was too cut and dry. I'm just much more of a creative person. So I moved to Washington, D.C. and started working for the NFL Players Association, which is the union that represents all the players. And it was a really interesting time because the players were striking and a collective bargaining agreement. So I was involved in promoting the player side of that. but also all the things they do off the field, all the charitable efforts, which was really interesting and a very fun job. And I love living in Washington, D.C.
Let's take a minute. Because that's a great overview. But many of our viewers are people that, and I'm going to use this season as an example, because I've been on quite a few podcasts in the last 6-7 months myself being interviewed. And what I have seen is so many of these folks are reinventing themselves.
Right.
And they were had good career jobs and they had corporate jobs. And it wasn't even so much that they lost their job, but everything changed so much that they are now, as that word pivot, they're looking to possibly change their career path.
Right.
And so they're wanting to meet people through LinkedIn and things like that, and then networking as well.
Right.
But they're thinking through their path. Now, let's just go back because also I hear, and I know you do too, Gabby, that you hear from people, wow, how did you ever start? Now, you gave a good overview. But when you were a young gal, I'm talking about, let's say, high school, did you have you mentioned writing. Did you write in high school? Did you start that in that period of your life?
I did. I was one of the editors of the paper, on the yearbook staff. I took lots of creative writing classes. So I did. But I've watched some of your other interviews. So I haven't pivoted like some of those people, only in that I started off in a financial setting for about a year, little less. And then I shifted to public relations. But since then, I've always done. My shifting has been more in the companies I've worked for and then branching out on my own. But I haven't had lots of different careers like some of the people I've really, I found what I really enjoyed and was good at fairly quickly and have just forged ahead. I think my path has been different. And I think for your viewers who are looking to change, it's that. So I worked in sports for a long time and I love that, but it was kind of a dead end. But I went to graduate school at night when I was there and I got a master's in communications. And then I decided that I loved Washington, D.C., but at the time it was tech was just starting there, but it was really a government town. Now it's evolved, but it wasn't then. And I really realized if I stayed there, that wasn't something I was interested. I mean, there's tons of communication jobs in the political arena, but I started interviewing. That wasn't me. I'm not political. I'm not motivated by politics. I'm not, as you know, I'm not a really political person. So I realized that staying in Washington, D.C. was just not, as much as I loved it and had a great group of friends and a great life, I was not going to further my career if I stayed there. So that was a tough decision to leave and leave, socially, emotionally, a great life. And I had a good job that I enjoyed and a great group of people I worked with. But I just felt like that was going to be a dead end, my current job, and it wasn't going to find what really inspired me. So I moved back to New York and I got a job at a small firm and it was a lot of real estate clients, things like that. But I liked working for a PR agency. I liked having lots of different clients, lots of different deadlines versus when you work at a company and it's a little more predictable sometimes. So from there it evolved and I went to work for a big PR firm and they had a position available in their travel group. And I love to travel, as you know, I've traveled my whole life. When I was in high school, I went with a group to Italy without my family. I backpacked all over Europe with two of my best friends after college. So I, have with my family traveled my whole life. So that obviously appealed to me. And the main account was a really fun one. It was Princess Cruises, which is the Love Boat. And when I joined them, it was the anniversary of the Love Boat and they were reuniting the cast. Oh, wow. So it was just, hooked from day one because I grew up loving that show and I got to meet the cast. And I throughout my time there with Princess, I think, you know, we met, we worked with, I was just reminiscing with some former from friends who are still friends that I used to work with. We reunited Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill for a reunion of Love Story. We had Fabio sail in on a ship for Valentine's Day. You know, we did so many fun things, and I so treasure all that, all those experiences that I worked on. And I think, you know, that's part of the reason that I found my calling in what I did, because it was such a fun thing. I mean, I think if I was marketing toilet paper, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun.
Or like you said, government or finance.
Right. And I knew that about government and finance, and that's why I had to walk away. And I think that's something, seeing what some of the other people who have, they've pivoted more into other careers, but I think it's also knowing you might be in a career you love, but if it's not, I feel that as someone who markets and promotes things, if I don't believe in it, I can't do as good a job. I did a product, some projects for building supplies, and that was really hard to get so excited about. However, we were buying our house at the time, so I learned a lot about what to look for in a house. So I was able to shift it, so it, I found something to embrace in it. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, if I can't do that, it's harder for me. But if I can do it, you know, like your father used to say, I could sell anything, but I have to believe in it. Amen. So travel has been perfect for me because it's my passion. And when I lived in Philadelphia, I was the head of PR for the Tourism Bureau there. And I didn't know anything about the city really, except the Liberty Bell and the Franklin Institute. And I tell people I was there for 2 years, and then I knew everything about the city. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way. I've learned about lots of different places and lots of different people. I've met amazing people. But I have worked with people who don't like to travel. And for them, it's a horrible industry to be in, which it's hard for me to understand. Yeah. But I think it goes back to, you have to find what you're passionate about. And then if you do, it's so much easier to be successful at it.
Right, to find that opportunity. And you did say something key here about that, is about the passion, because one of the questions I'm asked all the time, how did I know what I wanted to do? Mm-hmm. And my answer is always the same, is that I've known since I was a young person, knowing about me, that I knew I had to create something. You know, it had to
Right. be. Well, like me, I knew I wanted to do something where I could write.
Right. Right.
And I did realize that being a writer itself was maybe not what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I interviewed after school at publishing companies to be a book editor, which I think I would have loved, but I would probably be out of a job right now. But, you know, I thought about being a lawyer because you can write briefs, but that was too dry for me. So, but again, when I was younger, even up until I was a senior in college and, you know, actively using the Career Center, I didn't know what PR was. So I didn't know it was a career that I could pursue. But when I learned about it, I realized, and what I did was I outreached to alumni who were in the field about what they liked and didn't like. And that really helped me see. But again, it wasn't just PR, although I did love doing it for sports too. I think for me, I've always worked in leisure products. I've always worked on things that are people's passions. I've worked on sports. Mm. You know, now I do travel and hospitality. So it's restaurants, dining. But travel is everything. It's going to the theater. It's, you know, going shop, you know, everything that you do on a trip, I help promote, you know, the performing arts, museums, culture. So I've always done things that people are passion and
your passion and their passion. And can
right. Again, it's when I've not done it, it's been a little harder. You know, I've worked on some consumer products and it's hard to get a little excited, especially if it's a brand. I've worked on some coffee brands, but it's not like the artisanal coffee that I like. It's, you know, I won't say who, but it's harder to get excited, especially when I don't drink it. Mm-hmm. So then you feel a little bit like a sham. So for me, it's always been about being, you know, true
and authentic
about it. And if I'm authentic, mm-hmm. then it's so easy, as you know, to share that with and make others care about it too.
Because I also, you know, the adage that people buy from people they know, like, and trust. But mm-hmm. if you don't believe in something, how can you speak about
right.
it? There's no way that you can, because your authenticity will not come through.
Right, right.
You're not. Now, let's talk a minute about starting your own business, though. Mm-hmm. Meaning, because that is a very important thing, not only for today, but in general, because that is a major step and it's a major shift to take. So what, not necessarily just prompted you to, but how did you know that you were ready to do your own business?
I always thought a lot of public relations people are consult. I'd always known that, and that always appealed to me when I had kids or whatever. I always thought that was a great option. But as you know, I got sick and I got cancer 18 years ago. And so we were living in Philadelphia, and I took a leave of absence. And I thought, I used to work, you know, 12-hour days and a lot of events and hosting press. And I just thought, I had really a lot of time to think about it. And I didn't want to have so much stress anymore. But like, I needed time. I didn't want to walk away from PR because I loved it, but I didn't want to work for a company where I was expected to be on all the time, to entertain all the time, to work all those hours, and not necessarily also to manage a team. I was a manager, I had a team. And while I liked that, I needed to do more for myself at that point. Mm-hmm. So when we decided to move back to New Jersey, I thought that's the perfect opportunity. I can start consulting and see how it goes. And I have been really lucky because I had always had great relationships with clients. So when I started, a lot of my former clients asked me to work with them. And that's how I built my business. And I truly, honestly, have never solicited business. I still work with Princess Cruise. It's been over 20 years. I work with a lot of clients that I worked with when I was on the agency side. When I first left Philly, I worked with a lot of the attractions and things there that I had helped, you know, in the tourism office, because we almost acted like an agency to all the cultural and restaurants and hotels. So I really have been lucky that I've had lots of good relationships with clients, and I work with journalists who have become great friends, and they recommend me for work. So I've never solicited business. So for me, it was a little easier. And also, you know, at the time it wasn't financially stressful because I was married and Kevin had a good job. So it wasn't that leap. How am I going to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever? I didn't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good base of people who immediately gave me business. So that was less scary for me. But again, it's always something I thought. I knew that a lot of people, when I was younger and I worked at Porter Novelli, a really large international PR firm, a lot of the women left when they had kids or when they moved out of the city and they didn't want to commute and consulted. So I knew that was something that appealed to me about the field. And it's more dominated by women for the most part, which I like as well, because a lot of women support women in the industry. So I knew those things. So that also made it appealing to me. And because so many people consult, it's more accepted. You know, you don't have to defend why you're doing it so much. It's kind of a natural progression for a lot of people.
But you also took that time of a heartbreak time in your life to really assess what was going on and craft the life that you wanted to live.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't do that when something like that happens to you, you haven't learned from it. I think you have to. I mean, some people go right back to it, but I feel like, you know, I think I tell people now 2020 is terrible, but I have been through worse. And I think when you have cancer, if you don't change something in your life, and it doesn't have to be your job, it should be something that you learn from and take from and grow, then it's just a negative experience. It has to be, and that's how I feel about this year too. You have to learn something, and there has to be something good that you learn and come out of it. Yes. And then I think it wasn't all a loss, you know? And so that's how I approach things that are devastating. And I think that way you're not so, you know, you make lemonade out of it. You're not so focused on the negative that you can't rebound from it. And I think so many people have so creatively pivoted this year and have done that. And I think the ones who don't just say, yeah, I pivoted because I have to, the ones who build it in, you know, like restaurants now, who will always do great takeout or curbside or all these Zooms, like, you know, you don't have to be face to face. You can do a a Zoom now and having a Zoom holiday party with my besties tonight. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We should always do that because we don't all live in the same city. There's no reason we have to just do it this year because we can't all see each other at the holidays ever. So I think you have to take some good things out of it.
Oh, yes, very much so. It is, as Napoleon Hill says, that you're benefiting from adversity.
Right.
You take those negatives and you, it's like collateral as well, because you're recognizing, like you said, about your party tonight.
Right. And I, you know, would I have become a consultant without having cancer? Probably. But I think you never know. Like, you get sucked into work and, you know,
you do.
You, it's comfortable. And I think I would have, but I can't say I would have. You know, this didn't force me, but I think it presented the opportunity that I realized if I didn't do it, mm-hmm. I would be right back where I was before. So I think, you know, it forced me to pivot when we didn't use that word.
That word is becoming trite, but yet we understand what that means. I was this past summer, speaking of travel, a dear friend of mine here invited me to come to her home, and we did. I wish I remembered the name of the company, but these tour guides, so it was one company, and they connected these tour guides throughout the world, and we went from the Parthenon to Venice.
Oh, that's so fun.
Barcelona to Times Square, and these, it was men and women, and they weren't working.
But right.
It was a way, and you could tip them, you know, online, and it was great fun. And then the next day, through this same company, I can get the name.
Yeah, you have to give me the name. I want to do that.
And through the next day, I spent the night at her home, and the next day we did a cooking class, and the people that were doing it were in Italy, and they were down in Naples area, and it was in their kitchen, and we were making eggplant parmesan.
Yeah, I mean, so many of the travel companies I work, I've done that, did virtual, you know, because mm-hmm. you had to, you know, and I think people wanted that. You, how long could you feel like you were trapped in your house? Yeah. You wanted to see other things. And I think then there came a time where we didn't want that anymore. We wanted to go out and do whatever it was where we lived would allow, whether that was just go sit on the beach or go out to dinner. But I think now that there are more restrictions and Europe is having its second surge, I think many people like myself were hopeful by, you know, this spring we could go to Europe, and now I think it's going to be a little longer. Mm-hmm. You need the virtual again, and those people need it because they need to, you know, support themselves. And I mean, you could probably fill your show for the next year of how many people have switched careers out of necessity after this. And a lot of them will be a tour guide or a chef sadly, because at some point, they may change. I do have some clients who, not the clients themselves, but staff at their companies who got furloughed. And the younger ones have now decided they're going to change careers, go back to school, whatever. They're looking at things. Maybe they had to, or maybe it was always their dream and now's the opportunity to do it.
And that's a piece that I hear often, is that I just was bored to tears in my career. Again, they may still be in that job taking a paycheck, but they're really taking the time to evaluate.
Right.
When you became ill.
Like when I was sick, you're so busy in your day to day, you wouldn't take the time to step back and say, what do I need? What have I learned? I have a good friend who's my age, and she decided she was going to go back and get her master's degree during this. And she's been taking classes online, and it's a 1-year program, but she said she's been wanting to do it for years, mm-hmm. but you know, she does what I do. You're busy. She would never have had the time to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think there are going to be people who at the end of the day have some really great stories of what came out of this.
Very much so.
You know, hopefully you hear of those and not just all the sad stories.
Right. And I think there are two things that I've been listening to as well, is that one is sort of like the space program. So much technology came from that season.
Right.
Also, medical health wellness will come through this. there's going to be a whole tier of things that come from that. But the other thing that I hear often from people are these affiliate programs. You know, people are beginning to recognize that they have a skill set and they can parlay that and help others, but make a commission from it, you know, with these affiliate programs.
I mean,
and there are people in many industries that are researching this, and, you know, not just from a skincare standpoint or let's say a course that I'm working on, but other things. They're just working on that. So there's a lot of creative folk out there that are using this time to think through.
Yeah.
Yes. And this genre is adding to it, because we would never, ever, you know, never. How this started, actually, I'd been doing some lives and more Facebook Live type things, but started to do a Motivation Monday. But
then
I said to my employees, would they like to go live? And I was really wanting to keep them cohesive and keep the morale up.
Right.
They said, oh, sure. So we started what I call the pop-up shop, and Sarah putting eyelashes on and Gigi doing peels and so forth. But I could see people watching it and resonating with it. And then one day I read on a Facebook post, a friend of mine who has had some real challenges with her son health-wise was doing a directory for alternative practitioners, medical practitioners. And I messaged her and I said, would you like to come live? We were playing around with this StreamYard. And so she said, I'd love it. And she came on, Gabby, and it was amazing, the response to her. So I said, I think, because she is a professional, she's a videographer. So she's a very talented gal, but she has a huge heart to help others because of what happened, her son's tragic accident. And became a paraplegic. But he's doing well through stem cell, by the way.
That's great.
Yes. So but it was watching people watch it, you know, and respond. And that's how this came about. And you know me well enough that know that I love to help others and help, you know, expose people in what they do, but give people encouragement, that hope, an infinite possibility.
Right.
And in a, such a time as this.
Well, and I think right now, too, there are people who feel like their job may never come back or it'll never be what it was before, but they don't know what to do. And when you're home so much, it's hard. You can't network, you know, so you do look to what you see and hear from other people to give you inspiration, because you don't have that chance encounter where you're sitting next to someone on a plane, or, you know, you're both waiting for your Starbucks and you're chatting. We've lost that one-on-one communication. So luckily we have these virtual opportunities. So people are not so isolated.
But the dynamic though, like you said, the Starbucks, I am networking now with people all over the world. I had Samina Spilak, who I met through Glenn Lundy and his Rise and Grind, and she's in Slovenia.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never have met this woman, and she has a PR company in Europe, and she started in the cosmetic world, but that's very different there, you know, medical. But regardless, you know, now we've become buddies, and
we're
talking about doing a summit, and who, you know?
Well, no, I think that's true, too, through all of the technological changes and that were forced upon us. I think that is something you look in the fitness world, all of these people have taken their fitness classes online or through Instagram, and you see that they have people from all over the world following them. How would they ever have that before, right? Or the same with some of these cooking classes. You did a cooking class in Italy. I work with, it's a small nonprofit, Esperienza, and they, their mission is to help some of the kind of fading towns in the Emilia Romana region. And they curate trips. Well, they couldn't do it this year. They probably won't be able to do it next year. So they went virtual, and you do cooking classes with a big cooking school there. They have, you know, wine pairings, cultural immersion. And there are people who may do that who would never have been able to take their trip,
right,
but they can experience it and broaden their horizons virtually.
And that won't stop too.
That's going to be the plus that comes out of it. I mean, I think you're going to have Zoom fatigue socially, mm-hmm. but professionally, educationally, you're still going to.
Yes. Yeah. It's just opening a whole new realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
Opportunities. Yeah. So now we're speaking about travel again, and we're speaking about, and you mentioned that you've had this long-term relationship with Princess Cruise Line. And so we all know the story about what in March and cruising became stopped in its dead in the water, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what do you see with that? And B, because they're a great client of yours, and B, what are they doing? And B, how do you think that will evolve? We're talking about these cooking courses and things like that.
Well, I think travel in general is starting to come back domestically. I think with the vaccine announcements, and I think in the spring, a lot of more people will be traveling domestically. I mean, there were over the summer. Mm-hmm. So I also work for a long time with Visit Orlando Tourism Bureau, work with a big hostel network in the US and other US companies. So I think they're going to see Orlando is already seeing people wanting to come and looking to book for spring break. So I think the vaccine is giving people hope. Mm-hmm. Cruising is different because cruising is at the jurisdiction of the CDC. So the CDC is not going to tell Disney whether it can open or not. That's the state of Florida and that's Orange County, Florida. The CDC restricts what cruising can do. And cruising is different from anything else. Airlines would be the most similar because you stop in different places all over the world. So what we might allow is not what the Caribbean would allow or South America. So it's hard to take a cruise if you can't get off, you're denied access, which was what happened in March. And people were seeing that different places wouldn't let the ships dock and get the passengers off. So there's a lot more trickiness to cruising than any other type of travel experience. Mm-hmm. And so right now what they're doing is working within the CDC gave them very strict guidelines. They're working to fill them. None of them have really announced yet because they're still working on that. Then they're going to have to do some test sailings to show that it's safe. And then they'll begin sailing and it'll probably be, you'll see regional sailings. I think a lot will sail out of Florida or Texas and go to their private islands in the Caribbean mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. Instead of a Europe sailing where you go all over the Med, you'll go Italy to Italy, you'll go British Isles. It'll be very regional for a while. Asia will be just within Asia until they feel comfortable. So I can't even say, because the CDC hasn't approved them yet. So I can't say. I know that people are booking for 2021. I know that people who cruise, that's how they travel for the most part, and they love it. And I think they'll come back. It may take them longer because of the nature of it, and differently, you could go to a hotel. We went away. The only hotel I've been on since this started, and I travel all the time. I was supposed to be in Europe the day that New Jersey shut down. I was supposed to fly to Milan that day, but we went to the Berkshires to do a leaf getaway and went with friends, and we stayed in a hotel where we didn't have to take an elevator. We had our own kitchen. It was really safe. They did a wonderful job. You can go to a hotel and do what we did, not take an elevator, not be with other people. And it's very safe. The nature of a cruise ship is communal. They are shared experiences. So you take away the best of what it is. So it's going to take some figuring out. They're going to have reduced capacity. The great thing is they have tons of deck spaces so you can be outside. They'll just shift what's inside to outside, I think, a lot more. And what's inside will have to be, restricted like things are here. But it's just going to take them more time of the nature of what they are. And I just think, people want to travel again. And I think travel isn't just about seeing things. It's about experiences like memories. It's special occasions. And who hasn't had a birthday, an anniversary, a honeymoon taken away this year? And I think in 2021, we're going to be looking to do that. And we may be looking to do it more like I didn't go to the Berkshires at first, you know, versus flying to Paris. But I think by late 2021 and 2022, we're going to be doing those things because we've waited and it means more.
Oh, for sure. You know, I can't get to New Jersey.
Right.
I'm not allowed in. But if you came to my home, you would see all these things of memory, you know. Right. And I was in Manhattan, as you know, last Christmas, and I bought a pop-up of this Manhattan outside of Italy. And it's in a treasured spot. So I'm reminiscing. I'm not there. I'm not there with you on this Christmas day, but you're in my heart.
I know. I'm missing our annual New York outing. And that's another thing about, you know, it needs to come back too, because places like New York are so special because people from all over the world come. And New York right now, I mean, I've been there once since it started, which is just heartbreaking. But, you know, it's hard to go in because nothing is open. And it's just sad to see it the way it is. And so places like that need people to come back to survive, to be what they are.
Desperately do, yes. So we end this, I end this with a question for all my guests. And it's very appropriate for what we're talking about specifically with you and your not only evolving from corporate to, you know, your own business, having that courage, which you do, that chutzpah, and but drive and focus. But as I shared, that's my goal for this Unique Leaders, is to give people that inspiration to see that take what you love, as you've made it very clear what you love. But there's a book, I don't know if you've ever read 3 Feet from Gold by Sharon Lecter and Greg Reed from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And essentially it's a fiction, but it starts off with a guy that during the gold rush, and he was from the New York area or the East Coast and went out west and bought his little piece of the rock and was chiseling away looking, you know, mining for gold. And he got very frustrated, and the townies were watching him, and he gave up and sold his potential vein to a local, went back, and that guy, 3 feet, hit gold. So it is that, you know, never stopping,
right,
going. And then it goes from there, and that's how it opens, and it's essentially an autobiography of Greg Reed, who's one of the authors, but it's put in fiction. But it is about that point. But in it, they have what's called the success formula. And it is your passion plus talent times association times action plus faith equal success.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you all of those, what they mean to you, but I ask everyone, what is your passion and what is your talent?
Well, my passion is, I mean, I have a lot of different passions, but, you know, as it relates professionally, I think my passion is to share experiences and to have great experiences. And I think traveling, you know, going out for a wonderful meal, seeing a wonderful show on Broadway are all things that I'm passionate about. And I am lucky enough that my talent is how to communicate that and take each person I worked with individual story and realize how to share that with, because I mostly talk to journalists, whether it's a TV producer or a newspaper, magazine writer, blogger, social influencer, and craft it so it resonates with them. But because I'm passionate about the field I'm in, it's easier for me to share that with them to help them become passionate too. And again, I think that's what's really important. If you're not passionate yourself about what you're sharing with people, it's never going to come across. It's going to be much harder. Sure, you can do it, but it's really easy if you believe it too.
If you believe it too. That's going to be our tagline for this interview, is passion. And going into 2021 to identify that, to do take that proverbial legal pad and do the, you know, pros and the cons, what you love, what you don't love, and that will help you, you know, Excel what you don't
know. Well, and I feel like if you haven't done it yet, we're not out of this yet. You still, I think January and February are going to be tough months. And so why not look forward? Exactly. Because, you know, it's too depressing to look backward at what things were like a year ago. So
it's pointless. It really is. It's always over the horizon.
Oh, exactly.
Your grandfather and my father said over the horizon. So absolutely. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Really appreciate you being with me. I love you. And you're my first family member to join me. And
I'm very honored.
What appropriate day, though.
Yeah.
This day. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say Merry Christmas. I wish you were with us, but next year.
Next year. And Merry Christmas to everyone. So you hang around in the green room and we'll be right back. Okay? Thank you, love. Wow, what a wonderful visit with Gabriella McNamara. And if you don't want to pack your bag and get going, I don't know what will make you do that. But it gave me that desire to just get going again. And as she said, we have to wait, but there are ways to enjoy it. But please do share this with your friends and family. Tag your friends, because Gabriella shared so many nuggets of hope and possibilities and over the horizon, as we've spoken about, but to find your passion and stay with it. She went from corporate to crafting her own life and building it with clients that she had previously and building that life that she loves. So we will see you next week on Unique Leaders Live, and it will be New Year's Day, and we have a big surprise for you. I don't want to share that. You'll see it on Facebook on Wednesday, and again on a Friday morning. So we'll see you next Friday on Unique Leaders Live at 4 Central Time. Have a beautiful week. This is Christmas Day. Enjoy this beautiful season, whatever you do, and be blessed. Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders Podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandemartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.